Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. What a show today as we feature Bishop Briggs, who performs in Columbus Sunday, March 23rd at Newport Music Hall. We chat about how her love of music began, the recently released deluxe version of Tell My Therapist I'm Fine, which includes a couple new tracks, and that big song, of course, that kickstarted it all, River. And listen to this, we discovered that before we both hit the big time, we knew each other. Sort of. Well, it felt that way. You'll understand when you listen. Bishop Briggs, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Bishop Briggs, and this is my music journey.
How do we fall apart faster than a hairpin trigger?
I wrote it, but I feel like it still has a little bit of a timelessness to it, and I feel like it's quite edgy. And there are plenty of things in that particular album that were like very specific to that time, like using trap beats and certain production choices. But for River, I remember playing it for one of my best friends in the car. It was just the demo. And to move to LA and to pursue any creative field, and you have to have, I think, a little bit of delirium, even if it's like 0.001% of yourself, which was what I had, where like I believed in myself, like I thought I had something, but it was very small. Like a lot of it was insecurity and no confidence at all. But to be able to capture what you're trying to convey or what will represent you as an artist, I found extremely difficult. And I remember playing this demo in the car, and this is going to sound, just brace yourself, but I was like, I could die in this moment because I've finally found myself as an artist. And this is, you know, before I had a child, this is before, you know, all the things. So it really was just such, I mean, you know, music, of course, music is everything to me now, but in such a different way because I have a baby, you know, if that makes sense. But yeah, so it holds that for me. It holds that nostalgia and like that completion of, oh gosh, I found it. Like, this is what it is. And it had a surgence, you know, it didn't have a big reaction straight away. You know, it really has gone on a journey. And so like, I just feel really grateful for, yeah, all of it.
I so appreciate your time. I know these aren't that fun to do, but.
Me too. Thank you for taking the time.
I'd love to start out now.
Wait, we've met before, right? We've met before.
Maybe. Thought we had.
Yep, I'm going to say yeah. Yeah, we have. We have.
Okay, yeah. And we both remember it, and it was just the best. It was amazing to have met you that time.
Just in case we didn't, refresh my memory, or if we did and I forgot, how the love of music began for you? Kind of what are some of your earliest memories?
Ooh, that's a great question. So my parents are both Scottish and huge music lovers. And I feel like my first introduction to music was really in our living room, which crazily was in Japan. So I would have been 4. And we were listening to Motown music. It was a lot of Aretha Franklin, Etta James. And then there was the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. And then from there, I found karaoke. Karaoke bar land drew me in. It was very common to go after school. For some reason, it wasn't weird that it was a bar. And I saw my dad singing Frank Sinatra, and I just was like, whatever is going on here, I want to have a part of it.
That's amazing. And then, so as you moved around, how did that influence kind of the way you think about and process sound?
I mean, I think Japan was all about performing and exploring and enjoying that. And then 6 years later, our family moved to Hong Kong, and I feel like that's where I experienced the very typical, high school heartache and all of those different woes that come with hormonal changes. And that's where writing really became my focus. And I wrote when I was in Japan. I could pretend that it was amazing in this moment. I could say I was a prodigy. But I don't think anyone would say that if they had heard my original piece, Dark Cloud. Yeah, so those two places really, I mean, had the biggest influence on everything.
My soul can't be sold. Shake me cold. That's hollow ground. That's hollow ground. My spirit never told. Break my bone. That's hollow ground. That's hollow ground. That's hollow.
What inspired you to carve out your own self, I guess, and say, I want to present this and I want to record, I want to write, I want to do this, something that's unique to me?
I don't know if you've heard this or noticed this, but I feel like a lot of people that pursue music, they sometimes have a parent that, especially with my parents' generation, going into a creative field was so unheard of. And so I feel like I had a lot of support because, part of it was my dad's dream too. And then they also had my sister, who was an economics major. And so I think they definitely identified very early on I was a lost cause. And so I had to go my own path. And yeah, but I think a big part of it is having that support. Also, my sister was a big part of that too, because she set up my first YouTube channel, and those were very funny days. Yeah.
I want to get to this deluxe version of your album that's coming out, but as you brought up the YouTube days, how do you, if you could reflect on that a bit and just think about how you've evolved since then?
I think it makes all of us feel better to feel as though we have evolved and we have changed. And I want to be clear, if you were previously on drugs and alcohol and you're not now, yes, you have evolved and you have changed, because you had altering substances going on. But I really feel at our core, and I don't think people like to know this, but I think at our core, we're kind of the same. Our essence is the same. And so in these videos, it's kind of similar. It's similar vibes, to what to what you're experiencing here. It's like there's a lot going on. It's very loud and bold, and like the environment is not necessarily like requesting that of me. It's sort of like this unfounded confidence. Like people are like, why is she confident? Like there's a puzzling energy there. So yeah, Apple Juice Queen was my username at the time, and yeah, I hope to continue it.
Tell me that I'm somebody you can't lose. What can I do? What can I?
Deluxe version coming out. If you go back to the original version that just came out, what, 5 months ago or whatever it was, where did those songs come from? What did that collection of songs represent to you?
Oh my gosh, they represented a lot. I mean, it had been 5 years since my last album, and the first song written for this album was Crazily with Travis Barker, Isolated Love, and that was before lockdown. I did pretend to be normal in the session for majority of it, but then he played drums and it was like I couldn't help but like cry. I was like, this is such an honor to be in your presence.
But I can't take this isolated love. Isolated love. Isolated love. No one else can tell.
So after security escorted me out, yeah, I remember leaving that session being like, wow, I loved singing in that way. I loved writing in that way. You know, I'm excited to give this to another artist. Like, this definitely isn't for me. And at the time, like right around that time, my sister got diagnosed with ovarian cancer and was going through chemo, and chemo wasn't working. And it was just like, obviously, the worst time in both of our lives. And I played her the song, and she just had the biggest reaction to it, even in like the depths of her sickness. And it brought back so many memories for us as sisters, because my sister was very into Warped Tour. And so it was a lot of Paramore, My Chemical Romance, Good Charlotte, Blink 182 in her room. And then my room was like Aretha Franklin, Etta James. Like, there was like a very sweet, like elderly woman, like living in, you know, my spirit. And so I think subconsciously or consciously, I was really chasing that reaction. So with everything I wrote, I found myself thinking about why that song in particular triggered a certain feeling or a certain emotion. And I think it was because it had that nostalgia of what we grew up listening to.
Not to dive too deep into things, but you've experienced so much joy and so many highs, so many lows. And I guess a roundabout way of asking you, what helped you with that? Because we all have to deal with those things. Is there something that you picked up that helped you that the rest of us might find useful when we go through those similar things?
Oh, that's a great question. Man, you know, after my sister passed away, I found it really difficult to see a future for myself. And at the time, I had no stigma against it, but I had never, I'd never tried antidepressants. I recently read an article about this actor, Mark Duplass, and he was talking about how he had a nervous breakdown 10 years ago, and he dove into everything. He did the, you know, everything money could buy. So it was like therapy. He did yoga every single day. He did the cold plunge. He did all these things, and he still didn't want to continue living and still had difficulty with his depression and his anxiety. And so he was just making a statement about how obviously there are these drugs that can be heavily abused and, you know, can be very damaging. Some can create ideation, and it's not to take away from any of those things. But going on that strictly for the placebo effect, I didn't have a high dosage. It truly saved my life. I really, really mean that, because someone described it to me as like wearing a cast. So like if you're recovering from like a sports injury and you wear a cast and you perform the movements with the cast on, and the goal, and it doesn't have to be the goal, but the goal could be to take the cast off one day and be able to do those movements. I found it really hard when I was so depressed, people saying, well, just go for a walk, you know, and I would go for the walk, but then I wouldn't be able to go the next day. And so going on an antidepressant gave me the opportunity to practice going on a walk each day, because I had the ability to now. I wish that mental health things got treated in the same way as injuries. And obviously there are, and I want to be clear, this is like a huge disclaimer. Not everything works for everyone. And, you know, it's very specific to what you're prescribed and all these things. But, you know, I'm not on them anymore. But that particular time frame, that allowed me to, the placebo effect alone of like taking a pill that was me choosing to live. And obviously, we don't have control over our length of time here on Earth, but we definitely can actively shorten it. And yeah, it truly saved my life. And then from there, I, you know, was like able to dream again about like having a baby. And, you know, it really like it changed. You know, I got married. Yeah, it changed everything.
That's wonderful. You know, since we know each other, I felt like I had more time, but I got the countdown, so I want to get to some of this great deluxe stuff. But so on this deluxe,
I just loved meeting you at that place.
I mean, so great.
I forget the name, but right. It was just incredible.
Made such
incredible.
An impression. Woman is King. What a great song. Tell me about that. How that came together. What do you want to share about that?
Thank you. So I have a toddler now. And so a lot of my world is like living at the playground and meeting other moms, and then also meeting people that are not moms. And I was just so in awe of all these women. You know, we we sometimes get support during the pregnancy, of course. You know, there's these baby showers and there's, you know, someone gives you their seat on the subway. But postpartum is so real and doesn't get enough support. And so I found myself wanting to really write about that and write about it in a way that was like empowering and just owning your sensuality and owning everything that you are, whatever energy you're carrying. And then my hope was that the partners of said woman would be like blasting it in the car, like, you got this. Which is funny to say out loud, but yeah, but that was really my goal, was that it would be some form of empowerment. It definitely was writing it.
I'm done dancing, stroking on your ego. Try to use me, excusing all your evil, but I'm not gonna take that.
We definitely feel that listening to it for sure. Anything else on this deluxe, that fun stuff that listeners can expect?
Well, there is this other song called Lightning, and it's actually the story about how my husband and I met. I feel like you might have played his songs on your station, and his band is called Sir Sly. But yeah, I've never, you know, he's really gone through the trenches with me in terms of the songs I come home with. I'm like, you know, I'll like play him like a devastating song and I'll be like, it's about this guy from 6 years ago. He's like, great. Like, there's no, you know. And then there's this one song that I did write called Baby, but it's like all about how I was in love with him, but very confused about like the amount of liquor intake. And now he's sober. So it doesn't really like hold up, you know? So like in the song, I'm sort of like, you were acting crazy last night. Like, that was weird. What a fluke situation that was. So Lightning is truly my first ever, yeah, love song. Pains me to say, as a dark writer, I feel like I like to lean a little bit darker. Yeah, I'm really proud of it too.
Wonderful, wonderful. Paint It Black, our music director Maggie played it today. What is it about that track that inspired you to want to lend your voice to it, and how did you approach it?
Oh my gosh, that was so much fun. So that was for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They had this idea of that particular song being the focus because I was on the Netflix float for Wednesday, the show on Netflix for Wednesday Addams, and that was sort of the theme song that they had, and it was so much fun. I actually worked on that with my husband. He produced it. When I hear that song, I'll be forever reminded of like the very cute faces that I saw in the crowd and like numb It was raining and cold, so I'm like and numb feet. Like I remember, like yeah, I remember getting off the float and being like, "Oh, this is a numb foot. This is the feeling." Yes,
That's the quite
which you
the
feel, even if
absolutely.
it's. Well, I guess that's literally the opposite of numb, but you know what I mean.
Right. We feel that
Prickly,
in Columbus. Yes, we're waiting for
yes.
spring. There's no way I can get through these other five questions, but I want to ask one thing. Listeners share with me all the time how music gets them through something, what it means to them. As the artist, what does music mean to you to be able to craft it and to be involved in it?
Oh, it means everything. I definitely feel as though I feel like there's something bigger than me happening when I'm in the room and I'm just sort of a vessel that's there. And so it's a very, probably like the only really like spiritual feeling that I can really point to. But I love that we're in Columbus land because I'm such a huge fan of 21 Pilots. And I think they're a really great example of the passion and the determination and the focused energy that I really want to achieve as an artist. And I want that to transfer. I think they have the ability to make others feel less alone by listening to the music. And that is my goal too, is for that impact to be made in some way.
Well, you definitely have. Bishop Briggs, thank you for your time. Thanks for enriching our lives with
Thank
your music.
you. Oh my gosh, I don't want to cry.
Oh, come
Thank
on.
you.
Ellen, it's great to see you again. Great to
I
recap,
just to see you here and not in the other place is just like blowing my mind. But thank you so
Safe
much.
travel. So long. What a fun experience reconnecting with my old pal, Bishop Briggs. Visit bishopbriggs.com for more information. Also, like to invite you to listen to the radio version of Music Journeys wherever you are, online or through the WCBE app, Saturday afternoons at 3:30. It's a full half hour, and the radio version's a little different. In this episode, for instance, with Bishop Briggs, we played the full version of one of my favorite songs, "Good for Me," and because she mentioned a love of 21 Pilots, we played "Next Semester" from the band's latest release. To meet all the wonderful artists we have been so fortunate and grateful to feature on the program since its start in 2018, please visit WCBE's podcast experience at wcbe.org and search for Music Journeys. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.